Coming to you from the Grey Moon Studios just outside Atlanta, Georgia, for a third season. This is Trice Talk, a conservative political and social issue podcast that's not just for conservatives. We don't try to tell you what to think. We just want to see if you're paying attention. For the next hour and a half, we hope to stimulate, motivate, aggravate, and enlighten you. Now, here's your host, a guy that's been paying attention since Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter in 79, Grey Moon himself, Donald Wayne.
Hey, folks, I am Donald Wayne, and I want to welcome you to Trice Talk for Thursday night, March the 23rd, 2023. I got the date right this time. That's an inside joke. So I hope everyone is doing well as we approach the end of another work week here. For some of you, I mean, there are people that have to work on the weekends, but for those of you that work Monday through Friday, we've only got one more day to go. Hopefully by this time, everybody has recovered from losing that hour of sleep just a couple of weeks ago when we jumped up to daylight savings time. And we've got to deal with it until October, so I guess basically 6 months. But I haven't personally adjusted to it. I don't sleep real well anyway, majority of the time. But losing that hour a couple of weeks ago, I'm still running and chasing that hour, trying to make up for that. So I'm not a big fan of daylight savings time, but you know, I think we're. I didn't see the statistics on it, but I think we're pretty much split in this country about people who like it and people who do not. I can actually remember when President Johnson signed the Uniform Time Act. Well, that's President Lyndon Johnson, not Andrew Johnson, okay? But he signed the Uniform Time Act of 1966. And before that law was put into effect, you know, it pretty much got dark, even in Texas, going out west, around 8:30, latest would be 9 o'clock, I think. And I'm talking about twilight. But after daylight savings time kicked in, you know, sometimes it wouldn't get dark until almost 10 o'clock sometimes. So, we were big fans of going to the drive-in movies in those days. And, you know, that was a big thing in the 60s and the 70s. And, you know, before the daylight savings time, yeah, I mean, they could start the movies around 9 o'clock normally. And that's a fairly reasonable time. And most drive-in movies in those days showed two movies plus a cartoon and an intermission in between. So, you know, it was kind of important to get started as early in the evening as you can. Now, as you got later in the year towards the fall, they could get started sooner, but, you know, in the heat of the summer or heart of the summer, I should say, it was difficult sometimes to get those two movies in and get home at a decent time. But yeah, it wouldn't get dark till sometimes almost 10 o'clock. So most of those drive-in movie theaters had to start running the movies, you know, around 9:30. And really it's kind of hard to see. I mean, so they would usually show, I think there would be some advertisements for coming coming movies and so forth. So they would start out with that. But if they had to start the movie, it was difficult to see sometimes. But of course, drive-ins back in those days were an experience anyway. And it's something that it's a shame that past several generations have not been able to experience, because it really is something unique, you know, when the weather's right. I mean, I remember sitting, of course, growing up in Texas in the summertime and even in the springtime, you'd have a lot of thunderstorms come through. And I remember many times a thunderstorm coming through while you're in the middle of a movie that you're really enjoying, and then it rains so hard for 15, 20 minutes that you can really can't see the screen that well. Besides the lightning flashing all around you, I was always concerned, you know, that with all those metal poles around you with the speakers on them, that those were basically lightning rods waiting to be struck. But I never heard of a case where anyone was struck in a drive-in movie theater during a thunderstorm in Texas. So, but it's not just the drive-in movies, because I know that's not a big, well, it's probably almost extinct now, except for in a few select places around the country. But even stuff to me, like going to Six Flags and Disney World and Universal Park, to me, they take on just a little bit more exciting atmosphere after the sun goes down, because there's all kinds of different lighting. There's just a different mood sets in when it's dark and everything's lit up. It's actually kind of unique. But, you know, when the sun doesn't go down until 9:45, 10 o'clock, then and most of the parks close around 11, I think. Some of them may stay open till midnight. I can't remember. It's been quite a while since I've been to one. But it doesn't give you a lot of time to enjoy the park at night. And usually, even in Florida, when it gets dark, it gets cool, or cooler, a lot cooler than it is during the day. So it would just be nice to be able to spend more time with it dark at the park. Dark at the park. I didn't mean to really make that rhyme. But since I'm probably one of the few that actually feel that way, I'm going to move on to something else here. Since it is Thursday, and one of my all-time favorite movie series hits most theaters tomorrow, I can't wait to sit down in front of that big screen with my bag of popcorn and watch John Wick 4, which I think it's already premiered, maybe in Los Angeles or New York or somewhere. I saw that it already premiered, but here it hits the theaters tomorrow. And not sure if I'll go tomorrow or Saturday, but I will definitely catch that this weekend. I mean, I've been watching the movie trailers. You know what a movie trailer is? I've been watching the movie trailers for a couple of weeks now, as well as viewing any interviews with the cast that I can find online. And it really looks like it's going to be just as exciting as the other three. In fact, everyone that talks about it, of course, I know they always hype it that way, but I think they're really sincere in saying that this movie basically gives you a little bit more than the last ones did. And it's also a little bit longer. I think Lawrence Fishburne in an interview was saying, it seemed like every one of these movies has gotten a little bit longer because it takes a little bit longer to tell the story. And they're trying to tie everything together in this fourth one, everything that you've seen so far to date. But yeah, Lawrence Fishburne, who plays the Bowery King, if you've seen him, I don't really need to tell you this, but he supposedly sets the stage for this new movie. He obviously comes on in the beginning and he gets to say some things, and he's very good at giving speeches, and he was quite good in the last one as well. So Lawrence says that we're in for quite a ride, and I'm ready. So if any of you go to see John Wick 4 this weekend, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts about it on my next show, which may be a live show, if I can make that work. If not, if you would like to email me your comments about what you thought about the John Wick 4. I guess it is still a John Wick show. But you can do that at tristalk69pts@gmail.com. That's tristalk69pts@gmail.com. I'd love to hear what you think about the movie. Of course, you probably know that Lance Reddick, who played the character Sharon on the who was the Continental Concierge in all of the movies, all four of the movies, passed away last week. they say it was natural causes, I believe. And I think he was, oh gosh, I think he was just barely 60 or he was 59 or something like that. Wasn't very old. I mean, not by today's standards anyway. And, but I read in one of the articles that, they're going to make mention of his passing and they're going to dedicate, the movie to him. I don't know if that'll be at the beginning of the movie or towards the end, but there's, like I said, there's another interview, session that's posted online that, gets comments from pretty much all the major cast members. And you might, enjoy watching that if you haven't. I think it's on YouTube. But they have fun with it. And of course, Lance Reddick is interviewed in that as well. So anyway, got something to look forward to this weekend. All right. Before I move on to other things, I did a search online late this afternoon and I couldn't find any story about the Manhattan grand jury meeting today and making a decision about whether or not to indict Donald Trump. So I looked again one more time before I started the show tonight and I still didn't see anything posted. So if I missed it somewhere and they did indict him or they decided not to indict him at all, I could not find that story. So you may know something that I don't know, but as it stands right now in my world, I do not know what they're planning to do. I think, you know, of course, some people are saying just because they didn't come down with the decision today, maybe gives it more reason to believe that they're going to do it next week. Well, that's what they said last week. So, you know, who knows? I know the ladies on The View were pissed off yesterday on Wednesday because Donald Trump wasn't indicted like he was like it was expected. And I can only imagine that they're even more aggravated today. I did not pull up a clip of The View today to hear if they had any comments about it. But I know yesterday they were complaining and they were saying it's all Donald Trump's fault. And basically they were calling him a liar because he said he was going to be arrested on Wednesday. So they're pissed off at him, not only because he didn't get arrested, but because he said he was going to be arrested. So, you know, you can't make those women happy on that show at all. And I've said this before. I can't stand Joy Behar. I don't know what she did before she got on The View, but, you know, she's never liked a Republican president at all. And she's always been negative about conservatives and Republicans, period. So there's no reason for me to like that woman. Whoopi Goldberg, I have liked her. I liked her in some of the movies that I've seen her in. Not all of them were jewels, but I loved her. I just forgot the name of the movie. Jumpin' Jack Flash. I loved her in Jumpin' Jack Flash. And that was probably my favorite. And I think the first Sister Act was funny as well. But, and she actually had a funny part in Ghost, that movie. So anyway, I've always been partial and I like Whoopi Goldberg, and I liked her when she was part of the comedy act with Billy Crystal and what's his name? you know who I'm talking about, Mrs. Doubtfire. But she's always, you know, I've always liked her, and I actually remember seeing her interviewed on Sean Hannity a number of years ago. Probably, I think it was before Trump was elected, but it could have been right at the beginning. But she actually had a fairly decent conversation with Sean Hannity and very respectful and not her such negative self that you hear on The View all the time. But so, you know, I try to give her a little bit of room when she says goofy things on The View, but she really has gone off the rails sometimes. And right now, all of the women on The View seem to be pissed off because Donald Trump's not had his mugshot taken yet. So, I know the mainstream media, at least the things that I've been reading, they're blaming Donald Trump for the lack of an indictment so far. I don't know. I guess it's probably because Trump's Russian friends are influencing the members of the grand jury, you know, to walk away from this albatross. But by the way, I'm being facetious about that. So don't start any rumors that you heard on Trice Talk that the Russians are helping Donald Trump get out of this indictment in New York. But even the hardline Democrats and Trump haters alike have stepped up and said, you know, we really don't think that this is an issue that they should be pursuing, that it's flimsy at best. And other people who have committed similar, quote, crimes, if you will, not that it's been proven that Donald Trump did, but other people who have done similar things have not been prosecuted. Hell, Barack Obama got in trouble about a very similar issue, and basically they just fined him $300,000+, I think it was. It was something ridiculous. But he's got the money for it now, so anyway. A lot of legal experts have been interviewed in the last week or so, and people who really don't care for Donald Trump either, but they care about the law, they care about the letter of the law, and they care about setting examples, and the fact that there's never been an American president that's ever been brought up on charges and arrested before. So the insanity of trying to bring Trump down with this thing in New York should be weighing very heavily on Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, because this is going to be a career maker or breaker for him, depending on which way he goes with this. But, you know, as we've seen in the last 6 years, Democrats really don't mind bringing charges against Donald Trump, regardless of how frivolous they are. I mean, it's not about truth or justice. It's about taking out your sworn enemy at all cost. The one thing that we can count on is whichever way this issue goes within the indicting of Donald Trump, there's going to be some unhappy people somewhere in the country, which is probably going to result in protest. If he's not indicted, the Democrats are going to talk about it for the next year and a half, all the way through the 2024 election. I can be assured of that. So, one tweet that I saw about this, let's see, I saw a tweet, it was posted by Johnny Midnight at @its_the_doctor. And it was showing a picture of a sad face of Sean Penn, which, you know, every picture I've ever really seen of Sean Penn, he's either frowning or he's angry. And I kind of like Sean Penn too, in some of the movies that I've seen him in. You know, I don't have anything against him except, his politics, which he also has against me. Right. But, with the picture is the dialogue, which supposedly Sean Penn has said this. It says, "Maduro is way better than Trump any day, no question about it. If Trump wins again, I'm moving my family to Venezuela where they'll be safe." Now, I don't know whether he said that or not, but that's what appeared on this tweet. And it sounds like something he would say. But what baffles me is, what did Trump do when he was president for 4 years to make people like Sean Penn feel like he wasn't safe in this country? Now, you can talk all day about some of the crazy ass things that Donald Trump did and some of the things that he said. You can complain about his personality all day long if you'd like to. But if you really get down, and experts and critics have, in comparison to the things that Donald Trump did that were so good for the country and the middle class and the working people in this country for those 4 years, is undisputable. So why people like Sean Penn say they wouldn't feel safe in this country if Donald Trump got elected again? Maybe the only reason he wouldn't feel safe is because the nut jobs on the left side are probably going to go out there and do bad stuff again, like they did towards the end of his term last time. But that's nuts. But hey, it's no biggie for me if Sean does pick up and move south. I don't know how safe activists really are in Venezuela. But if you're an American basher, you may get along just fine. I mean, you know, remember Jane Fonda went, well, probably a lot of you don't because you weren't even born then, but Jane Fonda went to North Vietnam during the Vietnam War and cozied up to the North Vietnamese and had her picture taken with them and was critical of American military and so forth. This is that fine actress, Jane Fonda, who loves to tell Americans, you know, how to live and wants to be critical of everything that is American in this country. So, yeah. Yeah, maybe Sean Penn will do all right in Venezuela. But I guess we'll have to wait a little bit longer to see how this is going to play out. Get into next week and see, because I think the grand jury in New York only meets on Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So we'll see, folks. We'll see. All right, so the next thing. I was watching Fox News yesterday. Surprise, surprise. I don't watch it all day long. I do work. But I heard a story about how there is an epidemic of tenants in this country that are taking extraordinary measures to avoid being evicted from where they are living. Some even resort to violence and murder. I mean, I used to be in the apartment business years ago. And fortunately for me, there was only a few occasions where I had to be involved in actually helping evict somebody who failed to pay their rent where they were living. It's not a pleasant experience, and I actually always pretty much felt bad for the people that had to be evicted, but you know, there's only so long you can go and not pay rent and expect to stay somewhere. So anyway, after seeing that story, I decided to look on the internet and see if I could find any other examples of how this is taking place across the country, because that's the first time I'd heard that that's an issue. Now, of course, you know, during COVID, the federal government decided that landlords could not evict anybody for a period of time. There was a moratorium on it because a lot of people were out of work because of shutdowns due to COVID restrictions and so forth. So it somewhat made sense, but then again, I don't really know if there was ever any resolution, especially for the small landlords. You know, these companies that own, you know, thousands and thousands of apartments, you know, may be able to weather something like that. But a lot of landlords are actually small time people, elderly people that have invested their life savings in a property so they can generate some income during their retirement years. But anyway, so I found a few examples. There was a lot more than I'm going to use tonight, but I found a few examples of what's going on in regards to this problem across the country. The first story I found was, and I found these on Twitter, by the way. No, was it Twitter? No, I'm sorry. No, this was on Fox News. So the first story I found was posted by Emma Colton of Fox News. And the heading was Bees and Bullets, Defiant Tenants Use Violence, Bizarre Weapons to Fight Eviction Notices. And so she starts out noting that tenants are increasingly attacking officers serving eviction notices. Police agencies from Massachusetts to Washington report this, which is not surprising considering for the last 3 years, it has become increasingly apparent that some people in America think it's okay to attack police officers. That they deserve to be attacked and they don't deserve to be respected anymore. So the fact that there are these people who are trying or who are being evicted would attack police officers really doesn't surprise me. So anyway, delivering eviction notices has become increasingly dangerous for officers after the expiration of the COVID eviction moratoriums. Again, this is in that article by Emma Colton. It was reported that a New Jersey woman lit the home she shared with dozens of cats. She lit it on fire after authorities served her an eviction notice this month. The resulting fire caused the house to explode, killing the woman and some of the cats. Doesn't say how many. But I think it's amazing to me now, you know, you don't know the mental capacity of this woman who was being evicted, how long she'd lived there, nothing about it. It just kind of states that bluntly. And but I can't imagine that this woman thought that that was going to be a better deal to set fire to this. Was she doing it in spite? I find it hard to believe that she was planning on killing herself or her cats, because usually most people who have lots of cats like that really love these cats. And I can't imagine that she would expose them to harm like that, but that's what the story is. Another story tells of a Chicago woman. This one is worse. This is a Chicago woman that has been charged in the brutal killing of her landlord, who was found dismembered in a freezer. And she did this after she was served with an eviction notice, police have ascertained. Neighbors had actually reported hearing screams from the building after, I guess, apparently after the landlord had served the eviction notice. And it doesn't really say the timeline from the time they think that it was the eviction notice was served to the time the tenant actually killed the landlord. But the 36-year-old woman who was the tenant that received the eviction notice is charged with first-degree murder and concealment of a homicide in the death of the 69-year-old woman who was her landlord. Now, I'm not using names on most of these stories because it's really not relevant. And if you want to look these up, if that's important to you, you can. All you got to do is look up a Chicago woman who killed and dismembered her landlord, and I'm sure it'll be easy to find. But how bizarre is that? That you would be so upset about being evicted that you would do that to somebody. And then that you're crazy enough that you're going to cut them up and put them in a freezer. I mean, that's some that's some Hannibal Lecter stuff right there. Hechtel. I don't even know where Hechtel came from. Okay. I don't know. I should put something besides water in this cup. And finally, there is the original story that I saw on Fox about the Chicago woman. Chicago must be a dangerous place to own property, rental property. But a Chicago woman who found a pro squatter living in her deceased mother's house. Neighbors had notified the woman that there had been a shooting inside the home that her mother had left to the family when she died. When the woman arrived at the home, the locks had been changed and there was a bullet hole in the front window. Now, of course, she called the police to help remove the man from her mother's house. But when they arrived, the police arrived and talked to the squatter, they told the woman she would have to go to the go through the court system to remove this person. Basically, it was her word against the squatters on whether he had legal right to be there or not. That's what the police told her. And I have to understand that the police basically don't have the ability or really the legal responsibility to figure out whether or not this person belongs there. but it still seems absurd when you hear it the first time. I mean, how hard would it be to prove that you're a renter somewhere? I mean, if you're paying rent, unless you're paying in cash, it should be fairly simple to say, hey, well, show me some canceled checks, or show me your checkbook where you've written checks to the people that own this property. And it would be pretty simple if the person didn't have anything, or if you're paying in cash. And back in my youth, a few places that I lived, I did pay in cash, and I always got a receipt from the landlord to show that I had paid it, because you can't trust anybody today, or even back then, 40, 50 years ago, you still needed to get a receipt from somebody when you paid them cash for something. But obviously this person didn't have any of that. So the squatter had told the investigators that he is renting the property from one of the siblings of the deceased woman, but he can't provide any proof, or he can't even give anybody the name of the person that he's paying to live there. And another thing you're going to have if you're renting a property from somebody, and again, I know this from experience, even if you rent an apartment or you rent a house, or a room in a house, you're going to have a lease. I mean, I don't know anybody that wouldn't require a lease, because that's the only way they have of enforcing things against you if you do not follow the rules. So, you know, there's a number of things that could be done. But anyway, the woman told Fox News that the squatter actually admitted to her that he's a professional squatter and he knows the law. And he knows what she can and can't do to get him out of that house. He knows how long he has to play the system in order to get out of the house. And he intends to do it. Of course, the woman had no choice but to try and go through the court, which she started proceedings last September. Here it is, March. Was that 7 months ago? Yeah, 8 months ago. Almost 8 months ago. So if all that's not bad enough, here's a little sidebar to this. To make matters worse, the city has not shut off the water to the house. And so this person is obviously using water. Of course, it doesn't say whether there's any other utilities that are being used at this time or not, whether they have gas or any electricity. But I would think of the fact if they didn't have electricity, that would even be an indication that this person is not legally there. But, or the water bill should be in his name, or he should be in his name as well. So to me, there's all kinds of stuff that somebody could use to quickly ascertain that this person doesn't belong in that house. If he doesn't have any utilities in his name, if there's no power to the house, and if it has gas service and there's no gas service, all he has is water, then that's a flag to any person with any kind of common sense at all. But this woman, oh, I'll go back to the water bill. I got distracted there for a second. This person has run up a $1,300 water bill since he's been there. And obviously he's not going to pay it. So, this woman, the daughter, is going to be responsible for that, or she and her siblings, however they've got this arrangement, for ownership of this house. But anyway, a local landlord tenant attorney said that the evictions of squatters in Chicago can take 6 to 8 months via the legal system. 6 to 8 months. Well, we're right. We're knocking on the door of 8 full months. Pretty much since this poor woman has gone and tried to get some action through the court system. Like I said, with the technology we have today, why in the world would it take that long to verify whether somebody actually belongs in a house? I've actually seen those stories even around the Atlanta area where people have to be careful where they may own a property, a home, that they're not using, or they don't have anybody living in it for any particular length of time. And squatters will just move their crap in there and take over. And then you have to go through legal proceedings to get them out. How nuts is that? How nuts is that? You ought to be able to go down to the police station and take some whatever evidence that you have and get that person out of the house right then and there. Because the fact that these people know that they can do this only emboldens them to do it and do it more often and more people to do it. It doesn't make sense that a homeowner or the people responsible for a home have to prove that in court, and somebody who just breaks into the home and takes over can do so with really no consequences other than at the very end, you know, they'll just be booted out. To me, it's just another example of, you know, how screwed up our federal, state, and local governments are. They spend so much time on so many, well, I'm going to use that word, woke issues today that nobody really focuses on. This problem should have been solved years ago. I mean, there's no reason in the world that somebody should have up to 8 months to stay in your home illegally before you can do something about it and get them out. I mean, the elderly woman that died, this person's mother's, all of her furniture and belongings are still in this house. And what condition do you think they're going to be in by the time the squatter gets through with this house? It's amazing to me. I believe in law and order, but sometimes I don't understand how people could put up with the laws that we have on the books today. And some of these things can be easily resolved. One footnote that I did not mention about this story, there's also been a mention of numerous shootings of police officers that have occurred while trying to evict tenants in the past year or so. Several officers have been murdered by those they're trying to lawfully evict. That makes this issue one that should be getting much more attention than it does on all news outlets. But so far, I've only seen it on Fox. Now, I don't watch my local news very often. Something I stopped doing a number of years ago, especially when Donald Trump was elected, because unfortunately, all my local news tends to be anti-Trump. Anti-conservative, really. So I don't watch the local news much anymore. I've tried to get myself back into it a little bit because I like to watch the local weather sometimes and even the sports, but you know, the news stories, I try to shy away from them. But this is an important story. This is a violation of homeowners' rights, of property owners' rights in this country. And for a government, especially the Democrats right now, who seem to profess that they care so much about the individual in this country, why these kinds of issues aren't being addressed rather than trying to, implement all of these things and these woke policies in school systems around the country, or trying to push all of these, earth-saving issues that really stand to help people profit. Look at when Obama was in office and all the money that he gave instrumental in helping go towards these solar panel companies. One stands out, Solyndra. It seems like legislators get more involved in that than they do in fixing things that really, really are important to the masses in this country. And that's what they spend their time on. And while people have to run through the court system, spend their own money trying to get somebody out of their house that is not there legally in the first place. It's crazy. That's nuts, people. That's nuts. All right. Moving on to something a little lighter. This is one little story. I was actually going to use it last night if I was going to do a Wacky Wednesday, but this one just kind of lighten up after the last one. There's a story by Stephen Soros of Fox News. He posted a story about a Florida man who got in trouble for assaulting a woman with some pie. Now, let's see if I can say this guy's name. I probably can't. Ortilio Lazaro Alfonso, 39, was charged with battery in Marion County, Florida, after he slapped a woman in the face with a slice of pizza during an argument. The victim told deputies she had been slapped on the left side of her face with a slice of pizza during an argument after Alfonso became upset when she physically disciplined another individual in the home on his bottom area, according to an affidavit. On his bottom area. Would that be his butt? I hope. And I'm hoping that it was a child. I mean, that was being disciplined and not a, well, that's another story. Anyway, pizza sauce was found on the front of the victim's shirt, her shirt collar, and the back of her shirt, deputies said. She also had remnants of pizza in her hair and around her ear. Okay. Doesn't say her left ear, but anyway. The victim let deputies look inside the home where they found pizza sauce on the walls and on the ceilings of the kitchen area. When deputies asked Alfonso if he had struck the victim in her face with a slice of pizza, he said he threw the pizza at her and then it hit her in the face. The defendant advised he did not physically strike the victim with his hands, just the pizza. Alfonso was arrested anyway on a battery charge and booked in the Marion County Jail, later being released on his own recognizance. I don't know about y'all, but as expensive as pizza is today, I don't know that I would really waste good pizza on somebody that I'm having an argument with. But that's just me. That's just me. All right. Since it's Thursday, again, have I said that before? That since it's Thursday? Anyway, since it's Thursday, I'm going to share some tweets that I've been saving up for the last, well, one of them has been a week, but past few days to kind of ease out of here on a, not basically a light note, but just to kind of, well, I like these and I like to share some of these things that I find on Twitter. Especially the interview stuff. I really love those. And I had a couple that I'll be sharing probably next time. Man on the street kind of things. I don't know if you can say man on the street anymore, even though most of the time it's women on the street interviewing people. But anyway, I like those kind of things. So this first one that I'm going to share with you, I'm going to try to post it up while I'm talking about it. Whoops. What in the world? Well, that one's different. I didn't expect that one to pop up. Anyway, first one is DK at 1 NICDAR. I don't know what that is. Nick Dar? Nick? 1? Anyway, whatever it is. Reposted a tweet by Snake Eyes at Real G2DAZ. I guess I have to be careful about reading some of these things because I've heard sometimes that when you try to sound them out that you might end up saying something you wished you hadn't. But anyway, Snake Eyes commented Not one damn person I know with an IQ above a single digit can explain how the hell a man like President Trump, who has never held public office before being elected POTUS, can be blamed for all our country's problems by those who have been in government for a half century. Ludicrous, he says. So I don't have anything to play on that one, but yeah, I kind of tend to agree. It's amazing how many problems they've attributed to Donald Trump and overlooking the fact that a lot of these people in Washington, D.C. have been there far too long and have not accomplished half the things, but they always tell you they're going to do it every election cycle, like fixing the border. And you get me started on that. I'm not going to do that tonight but if you've listened to me before, you know that's a real hot button for me. But the people in Congress promised Ronald Reagan around 1986 that if he would sign off on what they were trying to do at that particular time, that they would fix the immigration policies. They would fix the immigration policies. And have they? No, they haven't. Neither the Republicans or the Democrats. So it's not just a Democrat problem. Republicans are just as culpable in this problem as the Democrats are. They have done jack shit to fix our immigration issues in this country, except stand there and, you know, run film people coming across the border illegally, and then the Democrats are, which is their usual line, well, you know, there's nothing to see here, except when Donald Trump was in office, and then they wanted to accuse him of all kinds of atrocities at the border. So, yeah. Good tweet. The next one is by Erica, at Erica RN4USA. She posted a video and commented, "We are in deep shit," but instead of saying shit, she used the symbol for shit on Twitter with idiots like this. And I'm going to play the audio for you here.
So that's actually not important.
Wrong.
Prove. Why not?
Because I think that that is a leading question. I think that that is effectively trying to act as though, because when does life begin? Sure, life begins. I mean, again, this is
at conception.
No.
Wrong.
That is no. So when do you think it begins? Whenever they come out of the womb?
See, again, this is a leading question that is part of the pro-life argument that I'm fighting against.
Well, we're just trying to justify that baby in the womb is not the woman's body, and it's actually an entire separate body, and that killing that child would be considered homicide. Like when a pregnant woman is murdered, it's considered a double homicide by the police.
I find it really, really interesting that that's your point. So that is inherently anti-woman, so you're effectively anti-woman by arguing that, so... kind of disappointed that I actually answered any of your questions.
Shut up, bitch!
Well, that was The Rock saying that. And sorry, I meant to try to cut that off real quick. But you know how difficult it is to pause that when, I don't know, the screen never works the way you want it to when you need it to. Right. So I'm not getting into that conversation tonight, but I just thought that was interesting because when you ask these people on the street these questions, especially the ones that get defensive on you, they really never answer a question anyway. This person she was talking to couldn't even answer when life begins. She acted like she was going there and then she stopped. So, you know, like I say, I like these on the street kind of things. And I agree with her. She probably shouldn't have stopped and talked to that woman. She shouldn't have tried to answer the questions because all she did is make herself look bad. All right. The next one is by Peggy Dodson at Peggy Dodson, where she reposted a video that was originally posted by says at real Donald Trump and commented, "Woohoo! Such wonderful Trump supporters in New York City. The fake news will not let the majority speak, so I'm doing it. There are more black, brown Trump supporters than the Dems want us to know. They are losing. We are all Americans." And I'm going to play that. There's a little bit of crowd noise in this. There's people yelling in the background as well. So it's obviously some kind of demonstration. But I just think it's interesting to hear some positive input.
Okay, we're here at Trump Tower, 57th Street on Fifth Avenue, and this wonderful sister is supporting President Trump. Tell us a little bit about why you support Trump.
I support President Trump because after I did my own research and I realized all of the lies, you cannot, the narrative doesn't hold up. There's lies. They're lying. They're trying to manipulate people. They're trying to control you. They're trying to tell you what to do, but it's a lie. Mm-hmm. President Trump cares about this country. We live in this country. This is our country. We're paying taxes in this country. We're working for this country. So we need to make sure that this country is great. They want to twist words and make it seem like American race is a racist thing. It's not a racist thing. If they want to tackle race, then they need to get to the bottom of the problems that we have, and they ignore it. Mm-hmm. We have problems that they ignore. This is not the problem. Trump is not the problem.
Exactly. And everything is racist. Everything is racist all of a sudden. The poll is racist because black people can't stand beside it. What is an illogical craziness?
Yeah, because when you say everything is racist, people get scared, they stop the conversation. Because nobody wants to be a racist, nobody wants to be a bigot, no one wants to do that. The minute you say, oh, this is racist, the conversation is done and the narrative continues. But
right.
The narrative is falling apart, it's done.
It's done. It's over. Yeah, it is. It is. Eric, thank you so much. You represent us, sister, very well. And people have to know that we are supporting Trump.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Peggy Dotson, this News on the Street. News on the Street.
The Constitution and rights are going to be violated. And remember, it happened to Trump. It could happen to you. A common citizen protecting rights.
Yes, like I said, it's hard to cut that off. It goes on for another 15, 20 seconds. There's a gentleman standing there with a big Trump 2024 sign, Save America Again. He's obviously Hispanic, wearing a MAGA hat, and it doesn't look like he has assaulted him yet. But yeah, so this was a person on the street in New York City talking about Donald Trump. I guess because of people protesting for and against what's going on there with the grand jury. All right, I got one more. The last one I'm going to share with you tonight is a tweet by Savannah Hernandez at @SAV_SAYS_. She comments, "A college student began explaining his white privilege to me, so I decided to take the opportunity to deprogram him in live time." So that's an interesting audio as well, I think. It was just a little bit further down there. Bear with me for a second. I actually had a lot that I really like on here. I could probably do a whole show of these, although I don't know if y'all would enjoy that. I would assume that if you get on Twitter a lot, that you probably have seen many of these yourself. But I like this one. Again, this one was by Savannah Hernandez, actually asking a man on the street question. Sorry about that. I got a little interference trying to click into this. Hang in there with me.
Yeah, I grew up as a white man, and you're the exact opposite, you know? And so it's like my experiences are going to be different from yours.
How come?
I think, you know, there is a thing of, like, white privilege.
What privileges do you have that I don't have?
Oh, see, that's the question I keep asking myself. Because, like, in this day and age, like, all the laws, I say all the laws, you know, it's hard to speak on something I'm not fully knowledgeable of. So, like, I'm sorry if I, like, make a mistake in saying this. But it's
Don't you think it's a problem in society when white people think that they have more privileges than brown or black people?
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the agenda that's pushed off, because personally, it's like, not that I think I'm more privileged than anyone else, because I had to work to get where I was. And that's like,
so why do you have that mentality immediately where you, you know, kind of apologize to me, like, let's talk about privilege. Let's talk about, I'm a white man in America, so we could have grown up differently. Why is that your first initial reaction to me as a brown woman?
Wow, you're getting me good. See, these are the kind of conversations that I love having. And I think it comes from a place of like, I wouldn't say caution, but like in this day and age, people are so quick to judge and react and cancel. And so I guess it's that like caution to go into an interview like this. I'm like, I don't know where we're at, but now I know where we're at and I can like go for real. I grew up as a white man.
All right. So.
And so it's like my experience.
Like I said, it's hard to cut this thing off. My gosh. Hang on with me. Jeez, I'll do it that way. I mean, there's a pause button on there, but it just like doesn't want to cooperate. All right. So I thought that was interesting. And that was one of my older ones that I've been hanging on to. Of course, she obviously caught him off guard. The lady asking the questions was Hispanic. And so she challenged him. Why do you think you grew up with more advantages than I did? And as you heard, he didn't have an answer. But he was programmed to say that because you hear that in the news all the time. The left wing, fake news, whatever you want to call it, liberal media, that's all they talk about. That's all they tell people in this country today, is that all white people grew up privileged and we should be embarrassed about that. All right, that's all I'm going to share with those tonight. I actually had one more that I thought about doing, but it's so radical. I'm going to wait till the next show when I can actually make that a subject that I can talk about, because it's when you hear it, if you haven't seen, well, I'm not going to talk anymore about it, but I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. All right. So that's, I'm looking at my notes for something else. I'm hoping that, what is it, Thursday night, that maybe Sunday night, I'm going to be able to do a show on Riverside. I'm going to try to do it live. I'm just going to jump out there. It may fall apart, but if I can get it connected to YouTube and possibly Twitter, I think I can connect it to at one time, but I'm going to try to do a live show on Riverside. If you'll look on Twitter on Sunday afternoon, I'll post the link that you can use to join the show. If you are interested at all in joining the live show on Sunday night. And yes, there will be a video along with the audio. It'll be live and you'll actually get to see me and my meager little studio that I have here. So anyway, I appreciate all of you that did hang with me tonight and listen to this Thursday night edition of Trash Talk. Obviously, you're not doing it live, but if you listen to the whole show, I really appreciate it. And if you like tonight's episode, please hit the like button or the follow button on your screen, whatever it is that you have on your device. And be sure to check out Trash Talk on Facebook, where this show will post on Facebook. Obviously just the audio. And I do post some articles on there occasionally when I'm actually doing the show. And I may try to post these videos from TikTok. These videos from Twitter on there as well. And you can also follow me on Twitter if you would like and see the kind of stuff that I react to on Twitter at Tristalk WG Moon. That's Tristalk WG Moon on Twitter. I generally post comments on my pet issues daily. It's rare that I miss a day, at least commenting on something. Also, if you have family or friends that enjoy listening to podcasts and they don't, you know, they kind of could relate to an older guy a little bit better, please tell them about Trice Talk. I may actually talk about stuff that they can relate to sometimes. And if you want to comment on any of the subjects that I talk about on Trice Talk or that I post on Facebook or on Twitter, if you want to comment on anything regarding me or the show, please feel free to do so. And you can do that by sending me an email at tricetalk69pts@gmail.com. That's tricetalk69pts@gmail.com. I will respond to any comments that you post. All I ask is that you at least be somewhat respectful, no vulgarity. And if you just can't stand the show, I mean, you can certainly post that if you want to, or you can email me that if you want to, but, you know, just be somewhat gentle about it, if you will. Okay. So my closing thought for tonight is from Carl Sandburg. Is it Carl Sandburg? Yes, Carl Sandburg. I'm sorry, I'm actually trying to pull up something here as I'm leading into that, and I swear it disappears every time I get close to it. So anyway, Carl Sandburg said, "Time is the coin of life. It is the only coin you have, and the only you can determine how it will be spent. Be careful lest you let other people spend it for you." I think that's pretty good words of wisdom to live by. Jeez. I tell you, you gotta love Spotify. You gotta love them. I don't know where this thing came from at all. You know, at least it's the end of the show, right? It doesn't really matter. Well, just let that one play through. But anyway, please pay attention, folks, to what's going on in our country, in your neighborhood, in your city, in your state, because we are the solution. Stay safe, everybody. We'll be right back.